Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Veronica Keane. She is the widow of Montague Keane, and he spent some 50 years investigating the paranormal, and after he passed over, he being the first one of the two to go, he promised to come back and contact Veronica. And from that time, she has carried on his work in part, and now Montague gives her a weekly message, which she places on her website. So, having said that, Veronica, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I think a good place to start here, really, because I guess very few people know your actual background, let me just tell our listeners that you made apparently a pact when Montague was alive and you were in Ireland that you would communicate with each other after one of you passed on, and I think much to your surprise it was Montague rather than yourself, but having said that, he did come back as arranged. Now, was there any time lapse between the time he passed on and when he first came back to make contact with you?
No, actually, to our amazement, the evening he died, as you know, he was being filmed speaking at the Royal Society of Art in London, and he died as he was speaking. And we went to the hospitals, as you have to do in this country, to be declared dead. And even though he'd been dead for a few hours, he was responding, moving his hands, and moving his head to whichever side I went to. And the two doctors in the room, and Dr. Rupert Sheldrake and my grandson, can verify this. And so right from the beginning, he was doing things to prove that he was still around. And then, you know, he started doing a lot of things in the house, moving things and getting into bed with me, which rather surprised me. And I used to be frightened to move in case he'd leave me. And it was very hard to get my head around the fact that he was actually dead. I was busy arranging a funeral, and at the same time, he was here all the time.
Right. Now, you're not saying at this stage, when you mentioned he got back into bed with you, that he was fully physical, are you?
No. No.
Right.
He wasn't fully physical. He would get in behind me, and his arm would go across me. And I could feel it. Not physically, but consciously, it was there. And
yes,
it was very comforting.
So when did it reach... Yeah.
He had an Irish wake where his body was here in the house for 2 days and one night.
Yes.
And you can imagine people came from all over the country and Europe and America for it. And every time a medium came into the house, he was communicating with them. And he was doing things to draw attention to himself. It was quite amazing. One of the mediums said at one time, he's standing by the television with a glass of wine in his hand. And, of course, everybody looked, and a painting came crashing down. You know, those sort of things. He was doing right from the beginning, determined to prove that he was still around.
Right. Now, that was in 2004. How long was it before he arranged to start giving out weekly messages for you to put out?
Oh, that was at the following year. He wanted me to do it, and I was a bit worried about doing it. He was communicating. I held seances all the time, every week at that time. So the information was just flowing in. And then John Mack, Professor John Mack. You know John Mack?
I've heard of him, yes.
He was a professor of psychiatry at Harvard. he came over to work with me on the communication from Monty because he was a friend of ours and he was very excited by it. Unfortunately, John was killed crossing the road. So Monty died in January and John was killed in September. And so I had two of them communicating with me. And they persuaded me, the pair of them, to write with them, to allow them to write with me. And so it took courage, believe me, to go public on what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people think, oh, stupid old woman, she can't accept the fact that her husband is dead. Whereas the information coming from Monty is of global importance. It's not just Monty telling me he loves me and misses me and that. It isn't. I am given very serious information, which I cannot put out onto the website.
Well, I've read one of Monty's messages, the one he gave, which you show on your website, for the 20th of December last year. And I must say, if that is typical of his messages, it certainly has a very good message contained in it, and it's very much to the point. Now, I think the next important experience you had was when he actually materialized. Now, can you tell us about that, when it happened, and what you thought about it?
That was 4 months after he died.
Right, yes.
Yeah, just 4 months after he died. He had been coming through in his own voice. That started 3 weeks after he died. I have all the tapes. And then 4 months after he died, he wanted to make a speech because I had arranged a day of tribute for him. And a lot of people were coming to speak at this, and he wanted to make his own speech. So he decided he was going to materialize and make his own speech for that day, which he did. And as you know, he walked around, he chatted to the people, shook hands, and then made his speech for his day of tribute. I'm very proud of that.
Oh, astonishing.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
He was a very determined man, and it was his one great ambition to prove categorically, yes, there is an afterlife.
Yes. Now, did anyone photograph him on that occasion?
No. Recorded it, yes, but not photographed. But he does intend to materialize where he can be filmed.
Yes, right.
But that will be in a place he will not tell me where, and he will not tell me when, because he said the skeptics would say I had arranged it.
Yes.
So I will know about it when I see it on the news, because he intends to bring information to the world.
Wow, that sounds wonderful.
I know.
When you get his or receive his weekly message, how does that come about? Does he contact you or you contact him? And what is the procedure there?
Well, if you'd ever known my husband, he can be quite impatient sometimes. Normally the arrangement is 3 o'clock Sunday, I sit down with a pad and a pen, and it just flows. It's like taking dictation. And sometimes he goes very fast, and it's difficult to keep up.
Yeah.
And sometimes he is so eager, I end up doing it at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know? He just won't wait until 3 o'clock. So he's very much in control, not me. And I've been amazed when I've been in America. I give talks and do things in America. And he will find a way of communicating with me there. So I still have to do it no matter where I am.
I see, yes. Now, were you actually prepared in advance to do that type of work?
No.
Or did you expect it? You were?
No, not at all. I expected to die first.
Mm.
We both expected that.
Oh, that's strange.
And he was giving me instructions on how to communicate from the other side.
Mm.
And to bring solid evidence. And, you know, I never, ever expected him to die first.
Right. Now, when he was doing his paranormal research, was he setting out to prove that the paranormal was real? I mean, what was the object of that? And I believe you called it the skull experiment. You may explain what the name means, yeah?
Well, Skull is a little village in Norfolk, and there were four people who used to meet every week, two mediums, two psychics. And they began getting a lot of very interesting happenings. Actually, there's a film has just been made about it. Fortunately, they had worked with Monty before he died. And but their seances were mainly based on things happening. And Monty worked very hard at school. And one evening, the spirits wanted to say thank you, a special thank you to him. And they said that there was somebody very special who wanted to greet him. And it was Rachmaninoff. And Rachmaninoff played the second piano concerto, which was Monty's favorite piece of music. And there were two recording machines going. One recorded the music and what everybody was saying, and the other one only recorded the music. It was quite extraordinary.
Are you saying that did Rachmaninoff actually play a piano of yours, and was he seen?
No, he Rachmaninoff from the other side of life played his second piano concerto for Monty.
Right.
He was
I was trying to establish where he played it. I see. So this all came direct from the other side.
That's right. But he said, our seances are strictly information-based. So he said, you know, nothing will be happening, tables will not be moving, anything like that. It is strictly information. And I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, all the apports and everything else have been going on for hundreds of years.
Yes.
You know, we've got to move on.
Indeed. Now, 50 years is obviously a long time to be...
I know.
...researching paranormal events. But what do you think was one of his greatest achievements during that period?
Oh, he regards Skull as the greatest. You know, the evidence he got at Skull was quite amazing.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing.
I mean,
because he would leave a camera with the lens covered and they would get photographs. Which, you know, and they would get apports and amazing things happened at Skull. But, you know, as he said, that's old hat now. The world has moved on. We've got to go forward. Things are happening in the world that we have to become aware of. And so we have to be prepared. And so my seances now are mainly, well, completely information-based.
Yeah. So that was why you set up the Montague Keane Foundation, presumably.
I didn't want to do that, Mike.
Mm.
He asked me to do it, and I have the tape recording of this. He, I said I would set up a scholarship in his name, and he said, I need a foundation. And I said, I'm sorry, darling, I couldn't do that. And he said, you can, and you will. And he insisted he needed a foundation. And he said, I would understand in time. well, he's right. I now understand the importance of it.
Yeah.
Because he wants to, in the building that he is hoping that we will get in London, he wants alternative medicine.
Yeah.
He said that the portal that he will create there, we will be able to see spirit as well as speak to them.
Yeah.
And they will give instructions as to what herbs and all sorts of natural things.
Yeah.
And as you know, the energy of the earth is changing right now. We're moving to a higher level of energy.
Yes.
And so drug-based medicines will no longer be required. Because our body will just change. Our DNA is starting to change. It's so interesting, the whole thing. It's fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. Now, there seems to be some emphasis about 2010, and that's mentioned in the December message on your website. Now,
yeah.
You told me that he said we will experience a massive energy shift to a higher,
yes,
energy, and that the,
yeah,
corruption will be exposed, etc., etc. So
that's right.
Tell us something of his predictions for 2010.
Well, as you know, people are beginning to realize they're feeling tired, and they feel as if you're at the end of the week before you realize it could possibly,
yeah,
be 7 days, you know. And that is the fact that it is already speeded up. And our bodies couldn't handle it if it's speeded up any faster than it's going. But the changes are happening. And the Earth, I believe, he's always said there'd be a pole shift. Always. Right,
yes,
from when he first died. And that things would change completely. Corruption is being exposed. It
starts
off small, but believe me, the seeds are sown, and people are now not accepting everything they're told. They're beginning to question. They no longer accept everything they're told on television and in newspapers. And the corruption is being exposed. Maybe it's not out in the public domain as much as we would like it, but it's certainly being exposed. I'm very conscious of it.
Yes. So, what has Monty said about the next half of 2010? I mean, we've seen quite a lot of that happen already. Did he mention,
yeah,
any particular experience that's coming our way?
He said we will see many, many changes. There's going to be a seismic shift in the Earth plates. And that will possibly happen in the latter part of 2010. But it has to happen. It's part of the Earth moving forward. And we don't have choices here. We just have to be prepared. And people will be frightened. And they are depending on people of the light taking other people forward with them. Our biggest problem is giving in to fear.
Yes.
And I'll tell you an extraordinary thing recently. Somebody was here helping me, and we found a DVD. And I said, I've never seen that before. And there was no marking on it, there was nothing. And we played it just to see what was on it, and it was John Mack.
Yes.
And one of the things he talked about was fear, and how fear is used to control us.
Yes.
And we watched it and went to bed that night, and John Mack asked me to put what he said about fear onto my website, which I did.
Oh, great.
And they can use me like that, you see. They control completely. It's especially when I'm in bed at night. It's like watching television.
Yes.
You know, they show me what's going to happen. They show me things. And they tell me what to do all the time. He says, I'm much more compliant now than ever I was when he was alive.
What a good man.
Yes.
Okay. So we've already experienced a lot of changes, and we can see that there are more to come this year.
Yes.
Did he speak about the following year or right up to 2012?
Yes. A lot of emphasis being put on 2012. A lot will have happened by then.
Mm.
And the shift should be completed by the middle of 2013. And, you know, suddenly the corruption and the greed will no longer control us. And he insists there will be no more war.
Wonderful.
Now, that is something I so look forward to, because I really cannot find any excuse for war.
No.
It's appalling what's happening. But there will no longer be any reason for war. Everything will have changed.
Yes.
And he said when he comes through and speaks to the world, it will make a lot of people sit up and realize that they're going down the wrong road. War never achieves anything, really.
No.
Everyone's the loser. But all the governments, I'm afraid, have not been very honest with us. And so we're led to believe things, you know, they create fear. We're told we have enemies.
Mm.
We haven't. But they try to convince us that we have.
Yes.
So while we're looking at the enemies that we're supposed to be frightened of, we're not watching what these people are doing.
Quite true.
Sorry?
I said quite true, yes.
Yes. And you see, this is what the whole thing is about. You know, wake up to what's being done. I had no idea how controlled we were until Monty died. And he made me look at things, and I thought, my God, I had just accepted all that. It's really quite amazing. And the power of love. He does talk about the power of love. That's why we can do what we're doing. Because the bond of love was so great that nothing could touch it. And nothing could separate it. But he said, does anybody talk of love? They talk of fear, money, you know, material things. But
yes,
the most important thing in your life is love.
Yes.
But nobody ever talks to you about it, do they?
No. And I often wonder, in the same way of thinking, why politicians rarely talk about peace. When do you ever hear them talking about going to, say, another country to try and create peaceful relationships? Very rarely.
They don't.
Now, Monty said that he felt that the workers of light should find each other and work together. Now, what more did he think they could do? I mean, what did he have in mind when he said that?
Yes. You see, the more people of the light come together, then they create the good energy. And the good energy will always outdo the bad energy. And the more good energy we can create, the more hope we have for peace and harmony in our world. And it is there, if we could just reach out for it.
Yes.
You know, don't see people as enemies. See them as people who are not yet friends.
Mm. I think that's an awful, thing when a country, for whatever reason, and often it is for some form of greed, declares war on another, and then you're told that they are your enemy. When a week or two before, they were your friends.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that's right. But you see, the whole idea of war is to shed blood. And I've been told that all the uniforms carry an insignia stating that they are blood sacrifice. I haven't researched this, but this is what I've been told.
Well,
war, there are people who make a lot of money out of war.
Yes.
You know, just think of how expensive a war is.
Yes, indeed.
So the people who are making the money want the war to go on.
Absolutely. And more often than not, they are the people who make the armaments for war, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Oh, Lord, yes. I know. They're so busy creating bombs and...
Yeah.
Things to destroy the world.
The awful thing is that they carry on inventing bigger and better devices for killing more people and destroying homes, aren't they?
Because you see, they want to reduce the population of the world by 2/3.
I believe that, yes.
Yeah.
Well, they won't do it, will they? Because they will be stopped. Now, Veronica, what I want to ask you is, are you able to contact Monty any time you like? I mean, do you have that sort of relationship?
I've never thought about it like that. I know my daughter, wonderful daughter, as she always says, now, Mum, ask Monty. Tell Monty I need to do this. And it's all, you will ask Monty, won't you, you know?
Yeah.
I get people contacting me saying, you know, that they ask him things, and they get the answer they need, which I don't encourage anyone to do because that's their business. I don't want to get involved in that. But sometimes I get cross with him when I'm very tired, and I say, "Oh, Monty, I am exhausted," and he will make a big effort then.
Now, at night time, he apparently comes to you, but do you have any recollection of going out of the body and, say, meeting him in the astral levels?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and that's wonderful. And one evening I was over at a friend's, Albert. He's a medium, and he has a little sanctuary in his house, and we were having a seance there. And it was my turn to sit in the chair, and normally I just went over to Monty and had a cuddle, and then I'd come back. But that particular night, I went to Monty, and then suddenly I realized I was standing behind the chair, and my body was sitting in the chair in front of me. And I couldn't come back. And I thought, what's going on? You know, why aren't they bringing me back?
Yes.
And when they eventually brought me back, there was such excitement in the room. Suddenly Monty had taken over my body so they could see him and speak to him. He answered all their questions, and he chatted away to them. And I missed it. I never saw anything. I was not happy.
No.
But no, he has done that, yes. Yes.
Monty obviously was learning quite a bit about the dark forces once he passed over.
Yes.
Did he ever mention who he thought was actually behind it all?
Yes, but I'd prefer not to talk about it on radio.
That's quite all right. Okay. But I don't want to really probe on that.
He was shocked.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
Are we really talking about an energy that we wouldn't normally recognize? I'm thinking maybe about an off-world energy.
It's an off-world energy that's being used, yes.
Right, okay. So yeah. We'll leave it at that then, because I suspect a lot of our listeners will have some ideas about that themselves.
Yeah.
Now, what I'd like to go on to now, Veronica, is some of the things that Monty said in that message from your website in December, because there were some very interesting parts to it. I mean, it's only one page, but it's very full of interesting comments. So,
yeah.
I don't know if you're prepared to actually mention this, but apparently you'd had some difficulty with some people that I guess didn't turn out to be very trustworthy. Is that something you can talk to us about?
Oh, Lord, yes. I don't know. Yeah, I have had major problems with people trying to prevent me doing what I'm doing. And it's been a very hard lesson for me. People have come into my life pretending to be friends, pretending to want to help me, when what they really want is to destroy what I'm doing. And that was a real shock.
I bet,
because I'm not good at pretending anything. You know, what you see is what you get. I find it very difficult. Dishonesty, I find very hard to cope with, and I've had to deal with a lot of that. I was truly shocked when Monty died, at the people who turned out to be less than friends.
Yes.
That was a real shock. And you know the interesting thing? When Monty died, one of the first things he was talking about was the corruption in our world.
Yes.
He was truly shocked. And then John Mack was killed in September. And he said, and it's all on tape, he said, Veronica, I was surrounded by it. Why didn't I see it? Why wasn't I aware of it? So I find it very interesting that those two men died within a short space of time.
Yes.
And they both wanted to talk about the corruption. They say, when you look back and see it, it's horrifying.
Yes. Well, that,
and
they
we're
want us
lulled into a false sense of security here, which isn't real.
Well, normally we trust people, don't we? And the people that are very crafty, shall we say, give you a different impression, as you've rightly pointed out. You feel they're your friends when they're actually working against you.
That's right. It was a real shock.
Carry on, that's right, yes.
It's been a real eye-opener for me. I never expected to have to deal with such evil. And evil is not too strong a word. There's one person in particular who has harmed me a great deal. And for Monty to say this was quite shocking. He said, she is pure evil hidden behind a beautiful smile.
Well, that's how they deceive you, isn't it?
That's right. That's right.
Now, something Monty did say, he said soon, and I'm quoting him here, soon you will move out of the darkness of control into the light. And he goes on to say, and I love this bit, take back the power that is rightfully yours.
Yes.
And that is what we need to know, isn't it? It's our right.
Exactly. You know, we have to understand that we are spirit. We are consciousness. We happen to be wearing a body right now. And you see, nobody ever teaches us that. This is something we have to find out for ourselves. And most people go through their whole lives without ever realizing it. We are powerful, and we have allowed others to control us.
Yes.
What we think, what we do, what we, you know, we are totally controlled.
Yes, indeed.
And I mean, history, if you really research it, is nothing like we've been taught.
I'm certain of that, yes.
You know, he gives me, you know, he tells me, you know, research this, research that. And I do, and I think, oh my God. He makes me work very hard. And I never expected to be doing that at this hour of my life.
No, well, it sounds to me as though you're obviously still very much one with Montagu, and I suppose you don't mind being his other half on the earth.
I know. Do you know, I still feel so loved. Mm. And that's, he has managed to that has never left at all. And it's lovely.
Yeah.
It really is. I never knew what real love was until I met Monty.
Mm.
And one of the things he said when we were together, no, after he died, shortly after he died.
Yes.
He said, you're now doing what you came on earth to do. Everything you did before you met me was incidental. And of course I argued and I said, I don't think so. You know, but now I understand what he meant.
Yes.
It seems
right, now,
that...
Moving on a little bit further in his message.
Yes.
He did refer to what he told you earlier about energy and how it can and should be used. Now,
yes.
What energy was he talking about then?
Well, really interesting. Our energy is changing. We're going to a higher level of energy. Now, he's always told me that, but I didn't fully understand. And then, at a seance that we had in December last year, they started talking about energy again. And they said I would meet somebody who was actually working, healing, just using energy.
Yes.
And I thought, this is interesting. Do you know, 48 hours later, I had a phone call from somebody who was a friend of a friend. And he said, oh, did you have a nice weekend? And I said, oh, we had a seance. And he said, oh, anything interesting? And I said, they're talking about healing with energy. And he said, Veronica, it's what I do.
Yes.
And I thought, oh my God. And this man has tapped into the energy. He is helping people with MS, with cancers. And you see, what he's explained, and what was explained from the other side as well, when people get illnesses like that, it is due to some trauma, some shock, or some deep upset. And all you've got to do is tap into the body and release that. Just simple as that.
Mm.
I've seen him, I've had him here helping people. And I've been amazed. And that's just using energy, no drugs, nothing. Just tapping the body with his fingers, just tapping and feeling where the energy is blocked and then releasing it.
Yes.
Fascinating.
I would believe in my mind that that isn't unusual, but is there something special about what he does?
Yes. He has worked out all by himself that the energy was changing and he started tapping into it. And he grew up in a family, his father was very famous in Harley Street, and his grandfather and his great-grandfather, so they were all into alternative medicine. And he trained in alternative medicine. But he said in the last year or so, he realized that energy was the thing to use. And he's having great success with it. And it's great. You're
when
just releasing what caused the MS or the cancers in the first place.
Hmm. So when he talks about removing the blockages, is he necessarily talking about clearing the chakras?
No, it's physical, because when he was doing me, he had a friend of mine there, and he was saying, right, do you feel that blockage? And he said, oh, my God, I do. And he just tapped it, and it released. And now she's a nurse. She's a highly qualified nurse. And she was fascinated by it. You can physically, if you know where to look in the body, you can feel the blockages.
Yes.
And you just move them on, release them.
Is he doing anything that could be associated, say, with the pressure points on the body, the same one, say,
no,
that acupuncture uses?
Not particularly.
No?
No. I think he just... Quite frankly, I think he's very spiritual. And he tunes into the person. And one of the ladies here, she had MS very badly. And he just started touching her neck, the top of her neck. And suddenly she cried out, I can feel my legs.
Mm,
I can feel my legs. And she was so excited.
Yes.
And that was just touching her.
Yes, wonderful.
Just tapping, you know. Mm. So no, that this is the medicine of the future, it seems.
Yes.
And it seems I was meant to meet this man. And it's interesting when Monty tells me something that I will meet whoever, it always happens.
Yes.
I don't have to do anything.
That gentleman must certainly be very popular once his reputation starts to spread.
Oh, yes. I know. He's a delightful man as well.
Hmm.
But no, everything's changing.
There'll be a big queue, I think, at his front door for some healing.
I know. And you feel wonderful after.
Yes.
It really is fascinating. And it's a joy to have. You know, it's wonderful.
I take it this person, for obvious reasons, lives in the UK.
Yes, he lives quite near... Gatwick Airport.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he can get away quickly if it gets too heavy.
Yes. But, you know, I had no idea that you could heal with energy. But to be told at the seance about it, and they explained it. And seances are so interesting because you can ask questions and they answer.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on from that, Veronica.
Yeah.
Monty also mentioned in this message that he had referred previously to a certain race that will not survive in the new energy.
Oh, boy.
That's an intriguing statement. Is he talking about purely a section of people on the Earth? Or when he means a race, does he mean, say, like the black race, the brown race?
Oh, no, he doesn't mean that at all. It's like when he told us that our DNA had been tampered with. I was highly indignant. Well, nobody's tampered with mine. But yes, they have. Everybody's DNA has been tampered with. And that's why it's got to be reversed. It's got to be changed. There are people who came from other planets and wanted to take over the Earth and still do. You've heard of the New World Order?
Yes.
Yeah. These people will not succeed.
No, certainly not. I know that in the past in the sort of years about 2,000 to 3,000 BC, there were the Anunnaki that came to the Earth that caused a lot of confusion. I don't know of any recent ones beyond the so-called Greys, but I think they, in the main, very much kept themselves to themselves. Okay, I just wondered to what he was referring there.
These people lack souls, lack sympathy, lack any human feelings at all. They are governed by greed and power.
Well, I think from that one can recognise one or two people that used to be in the US government before the changes.
Yes, and they're part of the whole thing. You see, their plans have taken years and years and years, and they think that in 2012 they will achieve what they want.
Well, we're very pleased to hear that they won't.
What?
I say we're very pleased to hear that they won't achieve it.
I know. But, you know, I could tell you things off air, but I can't tell you on air.
Right. Right, well, let's move on a bit further then. Monty reckoned, and we have to bear in mind he was saying this last December, that there would be many sightings of UFOs, mentioning that they are already hovering overhead.
They are.
And that they come. He said they come to remove the corrupt. Now, in my understanding, yes, the ETs are involved with their allies on Earth to achieve that objective. Would you agree with that?
Very, very much so. I know some months ago he asked me to research something, and I thought, what on earth does he want me to do that for? But I did it. But now I understand why. Because these people are just waiting for the moment where we call them for help, and they will come.
Yes.
They come only to help, not to control, not... They are our friends, but there are some who are not, you know, the Greys. But then the Greys have been around for many, many years.
Absolutely, yes. So I would imagine, particularly from some of the emails I get, although that hardly is representative of the whole Earth's population, that many people now are awakening to our friends in space, and they do quite keenly want them to come.
Great. They're ready. Believe me, they're ready. It's going to be very interesting. But you see, we will be told a lot of lies. There are people being paid to go on television and to talk about creating fear.
Yes.
You know, oh, these ETs, you know. Oh, gosh, you should be frightened of them. Well, no, it's the people who are telling you to be frightened of them you should be frightened of.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Believe me, my husband would not tell me to trust somebody if they weren't trustworthy.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice to know that you've got that assurance behind you, because
I know.
As your work becomes more publicised, you're obviously going to meet many more people.
Yes. You know, when Monty and I were together, we went to conferences all over the world, so I met an awful lot of people. But after Monty died, to try to stop me doing what I was doing, a particular person wrote a letter to everybody on Monty's address list, telling them to have nothing to do with me.
Oh, how awful.
And an awful lot of lies. Awful lot of lies. But they accidentally sent one of the letters to my daughter. And my solicitor got one. It's interesting. The people who have tried so hard to stop me are all of the same mindset. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, yes, yes.
Yep.
They tend to be, as you've mentioned, these creatures which really don't have a real soul or compassion.
That's right. And that's why, you know, killing people is nothing to them.
No, no.
If the end justifies the means, they do it.
Indeed, yes, yes.
And right. That's scary. But, you know, as Monty always reminds me, you come into the world with nothing, you leave with nothing. All the money in the world is not going to make any difference.
No.
Oh, can I tell you one of the funny things?
Indeed.
When he first died, you can imagine the questions we were asking. We asked, what happens to people who are adamant that there is no afterlife?
Yes.
And he said, it takes them a while to get over the shock that they got it wrong.
Yes, okay.
And they have to go into an antechamber to adjust to the fact they got it wrong.
Yes.
And, yeah, that was amusing. Yeah, he said they have great difficulty with that.
Well, I can understand that. I mean, if your mindset has not made any allowances for the continuation of life, it must be very hard to suddenly accept it.
I know. I know. It's, you can imagine the beginning. I have hundreds of tapes of communication since he died. And in the beginning, oh, we asked every question under the sun. And
yes.
You know, when short time after he died, there was a massive crop circle.
Yeah.
And we asked him about it. And he read it like you'd read a book. And he said, they're trying to help you by giving you this information.
Right.
And people just aren't realizing that in each crop circle, there is a message.
Yes. Veronica, I'm going to have to stop you there. The time's racing by. It's really interesting. We could obviously go on much longer, but I have a little time left to thank you very much.
Yes.
I'll mention to our listeners that your website is www.montaguekeen.com. And in case someone wonders how Montague is spelled, that's M-O-N-T-A-G-U-E. That's Montague Keen, all one word. And obviously Veronica would love you to visit the site. Do you want to give out your email address?
It's M for mother, M Keen, K-E-E-N, 7225 at AOL.com.
Right, that's brilliant. I must thank
can
you.
Can I ask everybody, please
yeah.
Reach out with love. Bring love back into your lives. It's the most important thing you've got.
Thank you very much, Veronica. That's a lovely
okay.
way to end the interview. I'll quickly mention to my listeners that next week I have Christine Day, who has just written a new book, Pleiadian Initiations of Light, a guide to energetically awaken you to the Pleiadian prophecies for healing and resurrection. And we will be discussing that next week. So thank you for being with me today. I'm sure you enjoyed it. And I trust you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.